The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
So 4 hours from now, we'll have Red Raider basketball on the air. We'll have a pregame coming to you from the T-Mobile Center there in downtown Kansas City, site of the Big 12 tournament, as Texas Tech will play the opening game of the day today as they take on BYU, a team that you faced on January the 20th. I don't know if you've pulled this up yet or had a chance to glance at it yet. A wild stab at who your leading scorer was that day?
Against BYU?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can remember. Gosh.
I know. It's been a while.
I'm going to guess Warren Washington.
No, he had 19. He was your second leading scorer. Okay. That's when I looked at this, that's the first person that I looked for. Leading scorer was Pop Isaacs. He had 32.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had a huge game.
Yeah. He had 32 of your 85. Texas Tech was 29 of 61, 10 of 20 from beyond the arc, and 17 of 18 from the free throw line. BYU, they made 13 threes in this game. They were 31 of 70 for the game, but 13 of 39 from beyond the arc, but just 3 of 5 from the free throw line. And in their game yesterday, I believe that they had 14 threes. I'm going to double check myself here. Yeah, they were 14 of 30 against UCF. They won the game 87 to 73. They were 25 of 53 from the field. And get this, BYU, so we talk about 3 of 5 against Texas Tech. Against UCF, they were 23 of 29 from the free throw line.
Okay.
So you think about, you know, 52 points, you know, 14 times 3 is 42, right? 42. So 66 of their 87 points are either from beyond the arc or the free throw line.
Okay. They're not into the twos.
Yeah. Well, and then in the paint, they had 20. So, man, just a lot of big numbers there for BYU. They're solid, obviously, in the tournament. But they have a game under their belt, you know, and sometimes that, you know, like in round two, you know, like if they were to win today, it might catch up with them tomorrow, you know, the whole 4 games in 3 days thing. Cause they'll play tomorrow and then the championship game is Saturday. But sometimes when you have that first game, you kind of get everything out of your way, right? You kind of get your legs underneath you. You get kind of some momentum rolling and, you know, Tech had sat yesterday. They did get some shots up. They went and did a shoot around and all that kind of stuff. And it's not like they haven't played hardly at all. I mean, they played last Saturday against Baylor and had a tremendous game. So what are you thinking about today?
I'm definitely nervous. I told you yesterday I felt like UCF was the tougher matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Watching BYU yesterday and seeing them make 14 threes and all that good stuff, it makes me a little bit nervous in that regard. But I think you're the better team. I don't think that you're head and shoulders the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish you had Warren Washington.
And we don't know. You may have him some today.
Maybe. But I think this thing could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to win. Obviously, you'd like to win the whole thing, but I mean, you'd like to, you know, win a game or two here to just kind of see if you can improve your lie a little bit in the NCAA tournament. You know, when the selection comes out on Sunday, you know, some have you at 5, some have you at 6. Obviously, some things are going to change because of the results that are taking place, whether it's this tournament or the others. But they're a team. I mean, they have. For the year, they have 4 guys that average in double figures, all right? And then they have a guy that's at 9.8, a guy that's at 9.7, a guy that's at 9.2. So, you know, there's 7 guys that are right around double figures for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, That, I mean, so it's
a good balance.
They got a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of guys that can
with everybody with a green light.
Everybody with a green light. Now, tech for all the games this year. Pop averages 16, Joe Toussaint 12, Darion Williams averages 11.6, and then you have Warren Washington with 9.9, and then Kerwin Walton at 8.3. So, I mean, you've got weapons as well. And then you've got guys that have come in off the bench, like Emily Yolajo, who's I think, provided some serviceable minutes for you.
No, he has.
Yeah.
I would say that's a good way to say it. I mean, he's not a weapon per se, like you're talking about. All those guys from BYU, you're not as deep as them, especially without Warren Washington. You rely more heavily on your main guys than they do. Okay, yeah. You need those guys to click, like Darion and Pop and Toussaint and others.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to win without those guys playing well. But at the same time, I do agree. I think Yolajo has provided something for you, and he's given you some minutes. I think Robert Jennings' progression this year has also been huge for this team.
Yeah. So BYU averages about 11 threes a ball game. They don't have their Big 12 stats broken out on their site, so I can't tell you how they do in Big 12 versus the regular year.
I mean, even the story that we talked about when you played them in the regular season, this is the same story now, right? It's to defend the three, and because we know that with three-point misses come long rebounds.
Sure.
So defend the three and box out.
Sure, sure.
It's as simple as that, right?
It's as simple as that. They rebound the ball pretty well. They average almost 40 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
So second chance, maybe opportunities are gonna be there for them.
Yeah, and that's probably a lot of times where they're getting to the free throw line.
Yeah, they have almost 100 more offensive rebounds than their opponent. Tech, by comparison, the opponent has 33 more rebounds offensively than the Red Raiders do. Mm-hmm. So that might be something to take a look at as well.
One thing we talked about yesterday, like, for example, Cincinnati's playing who today?
Iowa State.
Iowa State. I think Cincinnati's going to be at a disadvantage, okay, because they're now playing their third consecutive day.
Mm-hmm.
I think BYU has an advantage that they played a game yesterday.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, okay. I agree with you.
I think, getting that out of the way and getting one under their belts and getting some confidence, being used to shooting and playing in the gym, all that, I think that gives them a little boost as well.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the 14th, 2024, with this day in sports history, and a little slice of pie is Jeff McGuire.
Unfortunately, no pie. I would not turn one down, but no pie.
I should have stopped by and gotten some fruit pies on my way to work this morning.
When you woke up this morning, know it was pie day?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I got a text on my way to work that it's pie day.
Pie day.
Okay.
The text was not for me.
No,
1954,
not.
Milwaukee Braves future home run king Hank Aaron homers in his debut exhibition game against the Boston Red Sox.
Sign of things to come.
1960, Philadelphia center Wilt Chamberlain sets an NBA playoff record with 53 points in the Warriors' 132-112 win over the Syracuse Nationals at the Philadelphia Civic Center. 1978, NFL permanently adds a seventh official, the side judge.
Seems like guy they had to have, right?
It seems like a guy they had to have.
Isn't that the guy that tells you whether you're offsides or not? Or encroachment?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
On the did they do it without him before?
I don't know. Just kind of ballparked it, I guess. An extra set of eyes is never a bad thing, right?
No, I agree.
1987, New York Met Daryl Strawberry charges Red Sox pitcher Al Kniper during spring...
Nipper, yep.
During a spring training exhibition game, causing a benches clearing brawl.
In spring training.
In spring training.
That's awesome.
Might have been a hangover from maybe some other things.
Oh, I'm sure that there was something going on.
You said 86?
87.
Okay, so 87. So I think Nippert played for the Red Sox in 86, which would have been the Red Sox and Mets World Series that the Mets ended up winning. Kind of, that's the Bill Buckner series. That's
86.
Yeah. So I bet you Strawberry thought there was a little leftover from maybe the
Strawberry shouldn't have been the one that was mad though.
Nobody's probably mad that because the guy that
he
probably
Nipper threw, must have threw at him.
Threw
so
at him.
Nipper
yeah.
was mad.
Yeah, Nipper
and
was.
Strawberry got mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 2022. The number 9 Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team clinched its series win against number 3 Oklahoma State with a 9-3 win. In the 5th, Owen Washburn provided the grand slam that helped tally a 7-run inning for the Red Raiders. Mm-hmm. The night before, Cole Stillwell launched a grand slam that was part of a 5-run 4th inning. Friday's slam helped flip the lead for the Red Raiders. Saturday's broke a 1-1 tie. What both did was put Tech in front for good in the visitors' ballpark.
Let's go.
Very nice. Very nice.
Happy National Potato Chip Day.
I'm a big fan. I think we're all big fans, right?
Sour cream and cheddar, man, all day, every day.
I don't know that there's a bad one out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there is some.
Oh, yeah. What's the...
Oh, here you go.
What's the salty...
salt and vinegar?
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan. I know a lot of people are. That's not my gig.
Oh, man.
We normally don't do this type of person for a birthday because they have passed.
This type of person?
Because they've passed.
They're dead, right?
Yeah, they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
However, happy birthday, former Texas Tech football coach Spike Dykes.
Okay.
Also, pretty cool that he shares a birthday with former Red Raider basketball player Todrick Gocher, turns 31 today.
Seems like Gocher should be older than 31.
Seems like he shouldn't be that old to me.
Well, because he played here so long and just like so much has happened since he left.
I guess.
Also, Steph Curry, 36. Simone Biles, 27. Quincy Jones, 91. Michael Caine, 91. Billy Crystal, 76. Kevin Brown, 59. Bobby Jinks, 43. And somehow we kind of mentioned him yesterday, and it's his birthday today. From Space Jam's fame, Larry Johnson, 55.
Wow.
Grandmama.
Doesn't feel like he should be that old either.
How many? 55?
55, yeah.
That feels about right.
Fortunately, it was during my era, so, and I'm kind of getting old myself, so, yeah.
And on this day in 1967, I had no idea.
Didn't LJ play for, like, Odessa?
Yeah.
Yeah, junior college?
Mm-hmm.
And on this day in 1967, I did not know this happened. The body of President John F. Kennedy is moved to a spot just a few feet away from where its original interment site in Arlington National Cemetery had been. During the funeral preparations the first time, the First Lady asked if cemetery workers could erect some sort of eternal flame at the gravesite. Ceremony officials scrambled to put together a makeshift Hawaiian torch under a wire dome covered by dirt and evergreen burrows. The flame was fed by a copper tube from a propane tank situated about 300 feet away. After the graveside military ceremony on November 25th, Jackie lit the first eternal flame, and a few days later, the gravesite was enclosed within a white picket fence. Now, JFK's original gravesite attracted 16 million visitors in the first 3 years after its death. After his death in 67... The Kennedy family and Arlington officials chose to move his grave in order to construct a safer, more stable eternal flame and to accommodate the extensive foot traffic to the site. It took 2 years to construct, during which time JFK's body was secretly moved and reinterred in a private ceremony attended by Jackie, his brothers Edward and Robert, and President LBJ. The bodies of the two couple's children who had died at birth were also moved to the new site from their graves in Massachusetts. The makeshift propane tank was then changed out with a natural gas line.
I knew that was a natural gas line, yeah.
The Kennedy family chose Cape Cod granite flagstone to surround the flame, and they paid the cost of the original burial, while the federal government funded the construction of the final site and appropriations money for the plot's upkeep. Did not know that he was moved. Had no idea. Makes sense. when you have 16 million people come through in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that is this day in sports history.
All right, this day in sports history. All right, so here's the story on Al Nipper and Daryl Strawberry. In Game 7 of the 1986 World Series, Al Nipper comes on in relief in the eighth inning. Mets are leading 6-5. Nipper for the Red Sox, ineffective, retired one batter, allowed three hits, including a leadoff home run to, ding, 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 Daryl Strawberry.
That doesn't mean you get to throw at him.
Doesn't mean you get to throw at him, but obviously he was, maybe Strawberry was a little...
maybe he strutted?
Strutted a little bit, which would not have been
he stared at
him.
It too much?
Maybe so. Maybe so. At any rate, Daryl Strawberry really had the last laugh on that, didn't he? Because he won a world championship.
Right.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Presented by Yates Flooring Center. And the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Look forward to hearing from you throughout the day. All right, yesterday in the early game, BYU defeated UCF 87-73. That's Texas Tech's next opponent, which is this morning. We'll have coverage at 10:30, play-by-play at 11:30 with Jeff Haxton and Chris Lovell, who are in KC for that. The big concern here is running BYU off the three-point line, you think?
Yeah, absolutely, and then rebounding.
Yeah.
And then 3-point misses turn into long misses. So everybody, not just your bigs, everybody got to help on the glass.
Yeah, and you're going to need to make some shots too, obviously. Points in the paint last time was pretty close. BYU had 34, Tech had 32. And really, in second chance points the last time, Tech had 13 and BYU. Oh, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong box score. Sorry about that. Let me get to the right one here. At any rate, you're going to have to get some scoring because Pop Isaacs had 32 and Warren Washington had 19. All right, so points in the paint, Tech had 22 and BYU had 32. That makes more sense. But Tech from the free throw line was 17 of 18 and BYU was 3 of 5. So I wouldn't expect that number to be so low for them, especially with what they did yesterday, like 23 of 29. They made 13 threes against the Red Raiders. Tech made 10, six in the second half. And Tech made five more field goals in the second half than they did in the first half. And BYU made five less. And BYU made seven less threes in the second half than they did the first. So you need that second half defense to show up. You know,
absolutely. And you remember they had the big lead at halftime, and mm-hmm. it was all about their 3-point shooting. And then in the second half, their shooting went down, and
yeah.
you made yourself a great comeback, got the crowd mm-hmm. behind you, and had a fun Saturday.
85-78 was the final there on January the 20th. The other games from yesterday. TCU was a winner over Oklahoma. That was a little bit of a surprise. 77-70.
Was it?
I think so. I mean,
I felt like that one was a toss-up.
Okay. I mean, I guess I just kind of felt like Oklahoma, to me, I feel like Oklahoma is not going to make the tournament. I think you're going to have eight teams in the NCAA tournament. And I think Oklahoma's going to be left out. So I guess I expected them to maybe play with more of a sense of urgency, or it's because it seems like they're sliding down the hill here as the season has come to a conclusion. They had 18 turnovers, gave up 20 points off turnovers.
But don't you kind of feel like TCU's in the same spot?
To a certain degree, yeah.
Yeah, so wouldn't they be playing with a sense of urgency and all that good stuff?
I mean, everybody's allowed to play with a sense of urgency. Right. I guess Oklahoma was kind of based how they played in the non-conference, and they played some tough teams, and how they played in the early portion of the Big 12 conference. I guess I would look at them and go, man, like Texas Tech, they were a surprise in the Big 12 based on the season that they had last year.
Definitely early on, it felt like that. I mean, that tapered off a little bit, mm-hmm. right?
It did taper off, yeah.
But they definitely were an early surprise.
Yeah, they lost.
I mean, they were ranked, weren't they 11 when the Red Raiders beat them?
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
top
I mean,
that, 15 they, and all that good
yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they were a really, really good team. Let's see here. So, and then the other game from last night, and this was, I guess, the true surprise, especially because they came back, was K-State winning over Texas 78-74.
Yeah, that definitely is a surprise to me.
You know.
Well, you just hate to see it, though. It's really tough.
Both teams made 25 field goals. K-State made one less three. They made a ton of three free throws, and then it became a free throw shooting contest at the end. But, man, I'll tell you what, Max Asemus, I mean, he had 26 points, including a couple of big threes down the stretch. He was 3 of 10 from beyond the arc, but he made two with like under 30 seconds to play that kept Texas in that ball game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kept, you know, making a shot, and then they'd commit a foul on K-State and send K-State to the free throw line. And Tyler Perry, he had a big night for K-State. He was he had 21, but he hit some big free throws down the stretch for him because they wanted to get the ball in his hands because he's their best free throw shooter and probably the best free throw shooter in the Big 12. And he delivered last night. And so K-State gets to advance on. Texas 20-12 on the season. And that was good for seventh place in the Big 12. Obviously not the year that they thought they were going to have, especially coming off the Elite Eight appearance. But they'll be in the tournament. I don't know. I guess I'm just down on Oklahoma. And then the late game last night, Cincinnati with a win.
I mean, I definitely think they're a bubble team. I'd be really nervous if I was them right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but then, I would have been really nervous if I was TCU and they had lost.
Okay. I just have this.
And it was a good game. It wasn't as if they didn't show up and they got
no, right, off. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the other games today, Tech and BYU, TCU Houston, K-State and Iowa State, and then Cincinnati Baylor. Iowa State, I think they've kind of gotten lost in this Big 12 season a little bit. And they've been really, really good. I mean, they're the number 7 team in the country.
Absolutely.
You know, but I feel like, you know, there's been a ton of talk about Houston, obviously. There's been a lot of talk, rightfully so, about Texas Tech, and rightfully so, about what's been going on with Kansas, and then obviously Baylor and what they. But I think sometimes that Iowa State kind of gets lost in the wind a little bit. But they're a really good team, and that'll be a raucous environment tonight between K-State and Iowa State. It'll be a full house.
Absolutely. That'll be a fun one
it'll
to
be,
watch.
It'll be fun. It'll yep. be fun to watch, no doubt. Yep. And then Cincinnati-Baylor is the late game. And so Baylor kind of has to be careful there because, you know, you're sitting around all day, you know, you get lulled to sleep, and Cincinnati's energized probably coming off of a win over Kansas. And
sure.
And there won't be a huge crowd there. I would imagine that, like, whoever loses that K-State-Iowa State game, you know, half the fans will leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there'll be some that will stay just to watch basketball. But, sure. Like, if Iowa State wins, those fans will hang around. And yeah. And same thing with K-State. Those fans will hang around. But if they lose, they may be like, oh, let's go to the house. Let's go to the hotel. Let's go get ourselves something to eat. Let's go get a couple mm-hmm. of cold beers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody said this with regard to my comments on Fran Fraschilla. I agree, Chuck. Every word out of Fran's mouth was about their injuries. Yes, we all have injuries, and it was the same during the Texas game. Kept making excuses for Dessou and his beloved Brock Cunningham.
Beloved.
Robert says, you don't feel the Big 12 can get 11 bids into the tournament like one of the bracketologists predicted? No, I don't.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think they got 11 good teams.
Yeah. Bobby Hot Dogs. Chuck says that like he's never watched a KU game on TV before. I think that's sarcasm there.
Yeah, I think that most college basketball fans are used to the broadcaster slobbering all over the Jayhawks.
Yeah. Yeah. We shouldn't panic if BYU jumps out early. They are prone to giving up big leads. We need to just keep on grinding. Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Okay. What was the flagrant foul on the UT, and did it involve their hatchet man Cunningham? No, it was Weaver, and it was a flagrant call, and it was Tyler Perry, and his knee buckled on it a little bit because they were trying to foul him on an inbounds play, and it was awkward, but it was clear that he was not going for the ball, and it was the absolute correct call. K-State goes to the free throw line, makes the free throws, and gets the ball out of bounds.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Mark today down Pi Day 2024. Chuck said something nice about Kansas State.
I did.
He even texted me last night, told me he was rooting for them.
I did. I texted Jamie and said, I want K-State to win this game.
Ah.
I know. What's gotten?
I bought a thermometer just to bring to work to make sure he was okay.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, I got a two-parter for you today.
Okay.
And we're in the moment.
Okay, we're in the moment.
Red Raiders playing the Big 12 tournament today.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple questions. Texas, fill in the blank. Texas Tech wins today if, and Texas Tech will make the Big 12 tournament finals if.
Okay. You win today if you score more threes than they do. I think you need to keep them down, because I'm not sure you're going to have the production inside you had the last time with Warren Washington with 19. So I think you need to shoot the ball.
So two to one.
Okay.
2-1. You make two threes and they make one.
You win the ball game. Okay.
How about that defensive effort?
You get to the Big 12 finals, so you have to win today and tomorrow. You got to have production from, in addition to Darion Williams and Pop Isaacs. You've got to have production out of Kerwin Walton. Probably all three of those guys need to be 14, 15 points. So they probably need to be 75% of your points.
Texas Tech will win today if BYU doesn't go unconscious from behind the three. If you can defend the three, chase them off the three-point line, make them take a lot of tougher shots that don't have as high of a chance to going in, and they miss those shots, you can walk away with this win. They win the Big 12 championship.
I just had you just getting it.
Okay, they get to the Big 12 championship game if Pop Isaacs goes unconscious, and specifically against Houston. If it's against TCU, I don't know that he has to go as unconscious, but you need as expected all conference type moment from him if you're going to beat Houston. He's going to have like 25 to 30. And it's not 25 to 30 on 30 shots. It's like 25 to 30 on like 18 shots that are just everything he's touching is going in. He's getting contact. He's getting to the free throw line. I mean, that kind of performance to get past Houston.
Okay, for the first one, for me, I will say if you keep them to 10 or under, I feel 3-point made, I think you have a shot today.
Okay.
Just don't let them go off.
They average 11, okay?
Yeah, 10 or under. I mean, now if you only had two and they had 10, that's going to be bad, right? But, mm-hmm. I mean, if you shoot your normal amount and you're at 7 or 8 or even 9, I think you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a really good chance to win that game. To get to the Big 12 championship, I think you get to the Big 12 championship if Warren Washington plays today, looks great, and is able to come back tomorrow and do the same thing. Yeah, I don't think you're beating Houston without Warren Washington.
It'd be really, really hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff said, you know, Jeff's answer, like, hey, Pop needs to go crazy and score 25 or 30. He needs to do that, and Darion needs to score 25 or 30 more if you're going to beat Houston, in my opinion.
And then Kerwin Walton's got to hit some threes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you...
Or Chance McMillan.
Yeah, again, it can be one or the other of those guys. You just need that third score.
Or both. We'll take both.
Or Toussaint.
Yeah, Toussaint driving, getting the free throw.
Everybody score 15 points, we win. Yeah. That's it, right there, right?
Yeah. Okay. 7:36 this morning here on the morning drive. I guess the question, the other question of the day is, does Warren Washington play today?
I'm going to lean towards thinking no. I have no knowledge. It just feels like he's not been healthy. Until I see him healthy, I'm just going to keep believing he's not healthy.
Yeah, you know, it kind of feels like that if you were going to see him, and maybe it's just the way that, because the game was on the line, I mean, it's not like you can experiment. It's not like you got Incarnate Word coming out there. Oh, hey, let's throw Warren in there for a few minutes and see how he does. Because, I mean, you've had these, you know, real basketball games going on, you know, the last, mm-hmm. ever since he got hurt. You know, you've been Big 12 play. We'll go over here and play, you know, Sheboygan State, you know, and see if we can get a few minutes in for WW there and see how that looks for him, mm-hmm. See how he responds to it. And they're not, I'm sure they're doing, I mean, they do practice, but I mean, you're tapering to a degree. I mean, you're not going to have like a 5-on-5 to see how Warren does.
You know? Yeah, but they'll figure out things to make sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's ready.
Absolutely.
If he's ready.
Mm-hmm. 7:37 this morning here on the morning drive. Something I didn't know, this is college basketball related. If he hasn't been fired yet, they expect to part ways. I had forgotten that Travis Ford, the former Oklahoma State coach, was still mm-hmm. coaching. Mm-hmm. He's at St. Louis. He's been there for 8 years. Their season ended yesterday with a loss to Duquesne, 83-73. And so they expect to move on from him. You know, it's funny. Oklahoma State would love to have the success that they had with Travis Ford. I mean, he was there 8 years. Took Oklahoma State to 5 NCAA appearances.
No.
It's
not been that good since then.
And this was not a coinkydink yesterday, I believe. Okay? So Kenny Power gets fired at Louisville, right? Kenny Payne gets fired at Louisville. Do you know who got an extension yesterday? And I don't think it was a coincidence at all.
Rick Pitino.
Chris Beard was extended at Ole Miss yesterday by a year. And I don't think that was a coincidence.
Who?
So you were worried that he was...
I wasn't worried. I think that...
He was going to leave Ole Miss for Louisville?
I think Louisville would have maybe had some interest. But I think also Louisville's going to hire somebody that's really squeaky clean.
Well, then why would...
I'm just telling
Ole
you.
Miss have to add an extra year to Chris.
Well,
Beard.
I mean, the minimum in the state of Mississippi, the max contract you can have is 4 years. So this keeps him on that track. But I just don't think it was a coincidence that Louisville fires Payne and Beard gets extended at Ole Miss.
I think you just took your entire arm out of socket with that stretch.
I don't think so.
Really big.
That's. I'd heard some rumblings at the Big 12 tournament last week, so that's just my opinion.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We come to you from the First United Bank studio, and great participation today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. So if you've got a score prediction you want to share with us today, you can, for Texas Tech and BYU. We'll have the game at 10:30, play-by-play at 11:30. I think I've got an early lunch today.
Okay.
It might be extended a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I think that's, you know, since that's part of my job, right? I'm just doing my job.
To have an early lunch?
And make sure I monitor the basketball games so I can take copious notes and be prepared for later on this afternoon. I'll have a little bit with Clint and then tomorrow with you. Somebody says this. watching BYU yesterday, hopefully they'll be cold today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. Red Raider baseball last night or yesterday afternoon, they take down New Mexico State. Was there a takeaway for you yesterday that you kind of, when you left the ballpark, went, okay, besides the win, the takeaway was what?
I'll tell you this. There are a couple things that have me not scratching my head, but wondering about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not like I'm questioning things. I'm just wondering what Coach Tadlock's going to do moving forward. And the first one that jumps out to me is Will Burns. Okay.
Okay.
Will really stung the ball the last couple of days. Hit it well defensively. Showed good things. Made all the plays he needed to make. You know, you sense that Coach Tadlock is a little bit frustrated with certain things that have gone on in center field. At the same time, he's probably, you know, really impressed with some of the stuff that Gage Harrelson has done in center field, but maybe feeling like he could do a little bit more on some more routine balls that plays haven't been made on. And so he's given Burns the chance out there in center both these days here against New Mexico State. And Will had really good days at the plate. 3 for 5 yesterday, and not just 3 hits, but like 3 really hard hit balls. You know, he's seeing the ball really well. He picked up his first homer on Friday night against Texas, and he was 2 for 5 on Tuesday. So, you know, if you look at you put it together, he goes 5 for 10 in the 2 games against New Mexico State, played solid in center field. So I wonder if that's going to be a full-on platoon the rest of the way, because Harrelson obviously can do great things for you with his speed. And Gage has done a good job with his on-base percentage. He hasn't crushed it offensively this year, but he's taken a bunch of walks, and so his on-base percentage is good, which you want. But, you know, maybe Burns will start against lefties and Harrelson against righties in center field. But that feels like, coming into the season, I didn't think that was a competition at all. But right now, it 100% looks like it is going.
Do you, and Burns has played some right field too, right?
He came on late in one game and played right field, yeah, okay. In New Mexico, as a matter of fact.
So, but Woodcox is going to be your guy there more often than not, do you think?
In right field?
Or Owen Washburn?
Washburn and Green have been the guy that have been there.
But Woodcox played yesterday.
Woodcox played yesterday in right field, and, I mean, that's another guy that, you know, we've kind of touched on him a little bit, but every time Drew gets in there, he's doing good things. He really is. I mean, the truth of the matter is Damian Bravo is one of the hottest hitters in the country at this point, and he's playing in front of Woodcox, but, I mean, Woodcox has played in 8 games and started 3, has 3 homers, you know, 3 homers and only 18 at-bats this season. So, I mean, he's a run producer. He is. Just don't really have a spot for him right now with this team.
Who's going to be the everyday DH, do you think?
Well, I mean, that's going to rotate a little bit, I think, like it has with, you know, Washburn and Green have been rotating a little bit.
Gage Harrelson played he's been a DH at least once, right?
I think Landon Stripling's going to do it a lot as well because the freshman from Georgia, I mean, he's just, you know, bat to ball. That's a guy that puts the ball in play a bunch and, you know, just shown good things. And I think he's going to be a really good hitter for the Red Raiders. So I think he's going to get an opportunity too, but I mean, you would think Woodcox will get some of those chances, but, you know, Green, Washburn, Stripling, they will as well.
All right, so do you think the middle of the infield this weekend will be what you've had the last 2 days with TJ Pompey at second and Tracer Lopez at short?
I do. I just don't think you're going to bounce back and forth.
No, and it seems
you want
like
those guys to settle in. Now, maybe if you go a few weeks and Lopez is struggling, you elect to go back, but I don't think, I think at this point you can just assume that this is the way it's going to be the rest of the way.
Okay. Going back to the outfield, do you think it's, not that anybody can play center, but do you think any of them could play left or right? Let's just say either A, somebody gets hurt, or B, somebody's in a slump and you've got, you know, whether you've got Will Burns or you've got Gage Harrelson, And then you've got, you know, the other guys too, whether it's Woodcox or Washburn or the left fielder, Bravo. Do you think left and right are kind of interchangeable for those for all those guys, or do you think it's...
Well, it's different, and I think that some guys are better than others defensively out there, and one guy may be better in left than he is in right, but I think it's pretty interchangeable. I mean, I think any of those guys could play left or right. I really do, for the most part.
But do you think at home left is more important than right?
Yeah, I guess, because the wind blows that direction.
That's really kind of what the ball seems to be more in play to left and left center than it does to right.
The problem is that the balls, you know, if it's like yesterday, the balls that get up in the air to left, you're not playing. You and I could play left field.
We go out there and retrieve the ball in the street.
Well, meanwhile, the ball that's hit to right field is crushed, and that guy's going back, and all of a sudden he has to slam on the brakes and come forward because the wind's knocking it down in front of him. And so he has the more challenging job.
Okay.
So it just kind of depends on the day, the way the wind's blowing, all the above.
How about first base? Are you settled there? Are you still?
Yeah, I think that's settled. Gavin is really, he's swinging it well. I think we've seen improvement defensively. It's not been perfect, but I think he's dialed in at the plate. He's using all fields a lot more than he had been early on, hitting for average, hitting for power. I think Cash is doing a great job now in that leadoff spot.
And you're really solid on third base with Cade McGee, aren't you?
Yeah, defensively, sure. He's had some errors on some bad throws, but yeah, he's really good with a glove.
And he can get on base because he'll just let him hit him. 13th time yesterday.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.